And so it's really hard to get anybody in established science to look at it unless you pay them to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, anything that's going to grow, anything that's going to fulfill the promise of genetically modified plants and that sort of thing without genetic modification, you don't want to go up against those guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because now you're talking big bucks, and this sounds like it's something that could be free.
Well, it is. I mean, it isn't free. I mean, it costs you, in order to make it, for example, one of the easy ways to make it is to take some lye. Used to be used a lot as drain cleaner. It's kind of hard to get it anymore because it's used in the manufacture of some illegal drugs. But you can take lye and mix it with seawater, very low rate of lye, an old can of Red Devil lye, which you can't buy anymore. Red Devil lye, about 18 ounces of lye, will precipitate 5 gallons of the Ormus minerals, or a mix that includes the Ormus minerals, 5 gallons of precipitate out of 50 gallons of water. No, it's 10 gallons out of 50 gallons. 10 gallons of precipitate out of 50 gallons of water. And that's not a whole lot of lye.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 gallons, if you put it on the ground, this stuff seems to have a homeopathic-like benefit. You know, homeopathy uses dilution, and you dilute and dilute and dilute and dilute, and the more you dilute, the stronger the homeopathic remedy is.
Yeah.
Well, this seems to work in a similar way, and maybe the thing that underlies why homeopathy works, because you're diluting in a liquid, usually water.
Mm-hmm.
And the multiple dilutions somehow put information into the water. If the Ormus elements in the water are what carries the information, if they're the quantum coherent information carrying mechanism, and you put them on plants, they call that biodynamic farming, is sort of like homeopathy for the land.
Mm-hmm.
You put them on plants, then you can grow 17-foot tall corn.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent report I've got is that there's a farmer in the Midwest who doubled his corn production in 2 years, or with 2 years of application of one of the commercial brands of this stuff, something called C-Crop. And he cut his fertilizer requirements by 85%.
Wow.
So this kind of, well, you know.
Application in the real world. That's amazing stuff.
There's all kinds of people talking about doom and gloom and disaster.
Right.
You know, we hear people talking about climate change and global warming and ice ages, and, you know, everybody's got a favorite disaster, you know? And tsunamis and geological change and peak oil and, you know, there's all of these disasters that are looming. Well, you know, one of the biggest limitations with any of these disasters is food.
Yeah.
Whenever a disaster comes, food is the thing that basically immediately goes into short supply.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, food prices are astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
everything's just going through the roof. But suppose everybody could start to have their own green thumb. Everybody. I never thought I was very good at growing food until I started putting this Orma stuff on my plants, and they grow incredibly. My plum tree last year probably had 8 times as much plums by weight as a neighbor's plum. 8 times as much.
Gee, and that's like having 8 trees.
And it tasted so much better.
Mm.
We're seeing typically in 2 years of application of this stuff that you can double production. Now, tastes better. That means, and hey, you don't need to eat as much.
Yeah. Are you actually ingesting the ormus as well?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what do you have, like a couple of drops in your coffee or something, or how do you take it?
Oh, I don't use drugs no more.
Like coffee?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I put a couple drops in my you know, a glass of water or something, or one drop maybe in a glass of water.
And what kind of benefits have you seen?
Well, I'm not very old. I'm only 61, and
obviously
I'm,
you're not growing taller.
Oh, I've gotten a little taller. I've gotten about 3/4 of an inch tall in the last few years.
Okay.
A friend of mine's gotten, she's gotten 2.5 inches taller.
Wow.
But only I think only 1 inch was new. She's a year or two older than I am. This was when she was in her mid-50s. So, yeah, that could be a problem because you outgrow some of your clothes and stuff.
How about gray hair, wrinkles, that kind of stuff?
People say I have the skin of a 30-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And I sure hope I don't have to give it back.
And Barry, how long have you been taking this?
15 years.
Oh, 15 years. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
How was your health back then? And did you notice, like, I mean, how long did it take before you started to really go, hey, something is going on here?
I didn't notice much.
Okay.
Probably because some of the first stuff I ever took was stuff that my friend Jim made.
Yeah.
And this was actually the first Ormus I ever ingested was Jim had a bottle of Ormus that he made from catalytic converter beads, which had rhodium and iridium in them. And he used ozone to convert the metallic rhodium and iridium in these catalytic converter beads into their Ormus form. And he had this bottle of green liquid. I still have it around here somewhere. Anyway, he had this bottle of green liquid, and he said, hey, you can feel this with a magnet. This responds to a magnet. So he moved a magnet around under it, and yeah, I could feel it move a little bit in response to the magnet. And well, I wasn't quite sure, you know. So he moved the magnet faster, and he kept moving the magnet, and finally, you know, I'm not sensitive to a lot of things. I'm just not. And so finally, he gave up, you know, after spinning the magnet and moving it and quite a while. And we set that thing down, that bottle. It was a Nalgene container, which is a high density polyethylene container with this. It's a laboratory container.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you go out and take lab samples of water or something, and then you throw it in the back of your van or whatever, and it'll hold alkalines or acids or whatever you want to put in it. It just very stable container, and it has a really good seal on it. And so he set it down, and then we looked over on the other side of the room for a while, and he had something in the refrigerator he wanted to show me in the freezer. This stuff would have spikes growing out of the liquid, you know,
mm-hmm.
like you see on, sometimes you see on ice cubes. But anyway, when we turned back around, this container had this drop of water or something, drop, very round droplet sitting on the top of it. And I asked Jim, I said, how did that get there? And he said, oh, it got out. I said, what do you mean it got out? That's a sealed container. That's one of the best sealed containers you can get. He said, yeah, I know. It got out. He said, you mean it teleported out? Yeah. And that was the first Ormus I ever tasted. And it had a really pleasant, sweet taste. And it made my lips feel slick.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get chapped lips all the time, but my lips haven't chapped since then.
Hmm.
This was in 1996. I have a video of some of this. And sometimes I show it when I do lectures and stuff around the world. But my lips, I lick them, and I used to lick them, and they get dry out, and they chap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I never use chapstick or anything like that. My lips just don't chap anymore.
Hmm. So how was your health back then, 15 years ago? I mean,
I was pretty good health. I've been a vegetarian and raw off and on a good part of my life, but you know, I was starting to feel creaky, you know.
Uh-huh.
My feet always used to get cold.
Uh-huh.
My feet were constantly cold. And in the last, I'd say the last 3 or 4 months, I've noticed that my feet aren't cold anymore.
Uh-huh.
They just don't get cold. And that's really, really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, really nice.
You'd mentioned earlier on that this may have been used thousands of years ago, 10,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed in some of your articles you talk about Egypt and the twin serpents and the shewbread. And can you tell us a little bit about what you found out about that?
Well, I've got a friend and colleague up in Portland, a guy named Dorian Taddei, Taddei. And Dorian has been examining ancient petroglyphs. These are thousands of year old petroglyphs. And he's found that there's a language that is universal in these petroglyphs. It doesn't matter whether the petroglyphs are in the Indus Valley in India or in the Himalayas or in the Rocky Mountains or in the